Good morning. As was already mentioned, happy Mother's Day. It is an honor to be able to be among godly women, godly mothers. Children, if you have a godly mother, honor your mother. I grew up in a home with a godly mother, and I know I do not realize the power or the influence that actually is on a young life. So I want to honor and bless each mother here this morning. This message might be kind of narrow, if you want to put it that way, but it is Mother's Day, so it will be largely towards mothers. Mothers, yous have a special place. Adam was first created. The animals were created. All the animals came before Adam. He named them. And at the end of that, God said there's not a sufficient helper for Adam. And woman was created. It was very necessary. God said this is what is needed in order for life to continue. So you are a helpmeet. The Bible calls it a helpmeet. However, that is a high and an honorable position. There are multiple times throughout Scripture where Jesus revealed himself, first of all, to women. When Jesus was to be born, the angel Gabriel visited Mary. She was the first one to be told about that. Joseph was next. When Jesus rose from the grave, the ladies were there first, and they were the ones that were first notified. So there is multiple times throughout Scripture where it's obvious the women hold much value, and there's much honor to be had in women and motherhood. A few quotes that I found online. I don't know any of these people that wrote them, but one is that I'm going to read. It says, "There's no greater good in all the world than motherhood. The influence in the lives of her children is beyond calculation." And another one says, "Oh, I'm just a mom." You may have heard women say, "Just a mom, please. Being a mom is everything. It is mentorship. It is inspirational. It is our hope for the future." So just to place a little bit of weight or some honor on motherhood, it is not just. Sometimes you need to give your occupation while you're filing for taxes, one of them. You need to put your occupation. There's a couple different things. And the women put homemaker, and sometimes that's looked as of, well, I'm just a mom. Well, no, it is not just, as I just read here. It's not just a mom. A mom is everything. Mentorship, inspirational, it is our hope for the future. The title of the message this morning is A Noble Calling. A Noble Calling. And today I want to look at the influence, a couple different aspects of why the influence that a mother has on children. It is going to be largely geared toward mothers and their children. However, I believe we can all, in some way or another, we can receive something from it, hopefully. If you care to, you may turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's where I want to begin. I'm going to be flipping through different passages this morning, so I don't know if I'll turn to all of them. I'll reference them. If you want to write them down, look at them later, it's up to you. But I don't have one particular passage that I'm going to stay with the entire morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to pick up at verse 3. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He said, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned," or that could also be said genuine, "the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is also in thee also. And I'm going to stop there, and I want to look primarily at, or pull the thoughts from the message from verse 5. And in there we have the names of two women. So in these verses, Paul is telling Timothy that he prays often for him, and he's wishing to come and see him soon, that he'd like to see Timothy soon. Paul is likely in prison at this time, so likely be Timothy going to him, or if he would happen to be released. But he wishes to see him soon. He commends him, Timothy, for his faith. He says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the genuine faith that is in thee. And then he notes that this faith was first found in his grandmother and then his mother. Timothy would go on to serve with Paul, or he had rather served with Paul through various aspects, and he would later become a leader in the church of Ephesus. So we see some of the influence that his mother and his grandmother had on him. So the first thing I want to look at is influenced easily. One other thing about Timothy was his father was likely a Greek. We can read in Acts, it talks about Timothy and how his father was a Greek. Was there some mixed teaching or one that was maybe not quite balanced among the parents? Don't know exactly, but likely most of his religious teaching would have come from his mother. And therefore, it's probably why Paul mentioned his mother and his grandmother as far as their faith and how that would have influenced Timothy as well. The first point I want to look at is influenced easily. Influenced easily. So a mother, the definition of mother, is a woman in relation to her child or children. And as I already mentioned, being a mother should be viewed as a great privilege. It is an honor and it is a privilege. And again, I want to bless each of the mothers here in your work and in your efforts. Unfortunately, the culture around us seems to, it is not totally, but it seems to view children as oftentimes more of a burden or an inconvenience. Now that's not true in a complete blanket statement, or it might not even be something that you necessarily hear. But if you look at the way families are, let's just say, the way they are not necessarily put together, but the way they're just dealt with, the way people continue to do things even when they have children is, well, now that we have children, well, we can't actually do this, but I would like to, but I can't now. Too often there is the view of, well, if I didn't have children, I could do this or that. Or when I didn't have children, life was such and such. You fill in the blanks. So they might not act, you might not hear too often that, well, I wish I didn't have children. I don't know I hear that too often, but just the way family is viewed, it has taken, I believe, a lower level of importance. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are an heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And we all like rewards. Rewards are a good thing. You strive for rewards. At track and field the other day. Now we didn't hand out awards, but there were records that the children were setting. They were looking to compete against themselves from the previous year. And there was some competition there. The reward was, oh, I did better than last year. I've improved from last year. Children are to be are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from the Lord. And children are a reward. Children are most impressionable from birth to 5 to 7 years of age. Now they're impressionable far beyond that. But from some of the things I was reading, most impressionable development of the brain is in the first 5 to 7 years. And I'm going to kind of create a little bit of a box, so it's not going to, might not hold exactly right for everybody. There are overlapping roles, I understand, but the baby stage, or this, the stage from 0 to 5 or 7, is usually more of a mother's role. The baby stage is often better handled by the mother. Now, again, hear me out, that does not exempt fathers from being present. Neither does it mean that mothers are finished after these ages are complete. However, the baby stage is often seen of more as a mother's role, just what goes on with feeding, and oftentimes there's just better done by the mother. Why God created it that way, I don't know, but that's usually how it is. So those impressionable years, mothers, is largely handled by you. But as I mentioned, it's not like fathers shouldn't be around, not at all. It's not a, well, once they reach a certain age, then it's my turn. No, there's not turns. It is a, parenting is a collaborative effort, and I think it always should be that way. However, mothers tend to have the more influence in the beginning roles. However, we all influence others. You don't need to be a parent to influence a child. You can be an aunt and uncle, you can be a mentor, you can be a teacher, you can be a sibling. You are influencing others. Any role in a child's life has potential for influence, for good or bad. So if you have any role in a child's life at any point, you have the ability to influence for good or for bad. Even children, siblings, you have the potential to influence. An example I thought is when a child is given or needs to do a particular chore, whatever it might be. If it's one of the older ones and they respond to it in a negative way, obviously I can only speak from one household, so what oftentimes does that attitude or that response, can you hear that or do you see that same attitude or response later on? Siblings, I ask that to you. You don't need to answer me. But you have an influence on ones that are younger than you. Is something that you don't really feel like doing? Is it so bad? Is it horrible? Or is it, maybe you don't enjoy doing it, but you know that you need to have a good attitude about it, and it's probably not going to take that long. What is the attitude? And then, can you see that attitude in younger siblings or parents? Do you ever see that in older children versus younger children? At our house right now, we have some copycats. Children that simply repeat everything that has been said before them, whether good or bad. Whether good attitude or bad attitude, it is probably going to be repeated, sometimes very directly. You don't need to be very old. You can actually be quite young, and you're going to be influencing those under you. Fathers, what is our response to adverse or frustrating situations? Question mainly for myself is, does it dictate my mood? Do frustrating situations, do they dictate my mood? Along the same lines, mothers, your attitudes reflect on your family. Not to put an undue burden on you, but your attitudes do reflect on your family. Having a cheery attitude isn't going to take away all the troubles of the day. It's not like everything's going to be just perfect. If you always have a smile on your face, children are probably still going to have their squabbles. It's probably going to happen. But it's amazing how much it can do. The disposition of the mother. And the reverse is also true of how a grouchy or a dark disposition, it hangs over the family. Again, I'm not trying to put an undue burden on mothers, but it is amazing. Those that are with the family all day, every day, they have a major influence on the attitude of the family. It reflects very directly. And this is true in anybody, but true character is exposed in difficult or trying situations or trying times. That's when we see how somebody actually is. And that's across the board. So children are easily influenced, just the attitude we have about something, whether it's frustrating or stressful, whatever it might be, it has a direct influence on the children. They are easily influenced. It sets a tone, if you want to put it that way. They're easily influenced. Next I want to look at is influenced faithfully. Influenced faithfully. Faithfulness is the quality of being loyal or steadfast. It is committed to a cause or a call or a cause. Being a mother requires, being a godly mother rather, requires faithfulness. Your call is a marathon and not a sprint. A sprint is full effort for a short time. You all know what a sprint is. A marathon, if you start in a sprint speed, you're not making it through. It's not going to work. You're not designed to run full tilt for 26 miles. That's what a marathon is. But If you look at life in general, it's long. It's trying. Your call is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not forever, but it is long. Being able to observe those that have been faithful for many years is a beautiful thing. And as I mentioned about growing up in a godly home, I know my grandparents, well, they're not living anymore, my grandparents on my mom's side, I once had great grandparents rather on my mom's side, I don't know any on my dad's side, but I can look back three generations and I can see a godly heritage in those three that I have spoken to personally. Obviously beyond that, I don't even know names, maybe I should look more into that, but having a godly heritage is a beautiful thing, and I know that not everybody has that. However, if you don't have that, today you have the opportunity to begin a godly heritage, if you will, setting a godly example, influencing faithfully, even if you don't have children, but especially if you have children, you're easily influencing those that God has gifted to you. Are we influencing them faithfully? Faithfulness in motherhood is a vague term, and I said that being a godly mother requires faithfulness, and that's vague. I mean, you could take that all over the place. I'm going to pull a few specifics. It's not an exhaustive list. You could maybe even want to take some away, but you could definitely add to it. But the first thing I want to look at is availability. Children take a lot of care. If you're a parent, you know that, especially young children. And mothers. Again, I said this message is going to be primarily towards mothers, so you're going to hear that different times. A mother usually takes the brunt of it in early stages. You have the interrupted nights, you have sicknesses, you have household demands, and you have the care of other children if there are others. So there are a lot of things that need to be done. Again, I know I'm speaking more directly at mothers. This is not excluding the father, especially in baby stages and things like that, when there are interrupted nights and illnesses and things like that, I believe it is the father's duty to step in and to help with that. However, the mother bears a lot of that responsibility, and I want to recognize that and bless you for that, because I've seen a mother that has gotten up many times overnight, and it's been on more than one occasion where it's been a rough night and I had no idea. I hear the next day that I'm so tired because so-and-so was up five times last night, and I'm like, oh, I heard maybe one of them. Availability. It's a mother's natural instinct. Sickness. Oftentimes a child will go to their mother during sickness. It is the natural care that the mother has to a child. Again, fathers are not exempt. And I'm not saying your child doesn't come to you when they're sick. They probably do at some point. But primarily, it is the mother that takes that directness. Household demands, again, thinking more when there's babies, that can look huge and overwhelming. But it's also a responsibility in the care of other children, especially when there's multiple preschoolers or toddlers. It is just a lot that needs to be done. And you need to be available all the time. You might have a rough night. However, as the father needs to go provide, whether that's working from home or not, they're going to be stepping out likely, and it puts a lot of strain on the mother. And I want to say understand that. I know I don't understand that to its fullest, but I honor you and bless you in your work there. All of these things speak of love. And it's not because you actually enjoy the continued demands or the fatigue. If somebody does, that's great. However, outside looking in, not being a mother, I don't think that's necessarily enjoyed or even needs to be enjoyed. But it's because you love the children that God has given you. And within you is the motherly instinct to nurture those put in your care. And I believe that is a large part of why you do what you do. And that's amazing that it can be done that way. You can run a very full schedule. You can run an amazingly smooth schedule in the midst of what looks like chaos. Not simply because it's a natural instinct, but it's a God-given instinct to nurture those put in your care. Second thing I'm going to look at is teaching, influencing faithfully in teaching. I know this isn't always possible, but I feel it's very valuable when a mother can be at home. And I am thankful for the culture that I grew up in. I grew up on a farm, so there's a little bit of difference there. Dad was home, so mom was too. But I feel it's very valuable when a mother can be at home, at least some. Being present for a child's their words, their steps, etc. Different things like that. It's not uncommon for a mother to go back to work. Sometimes it needs to be done. So there are exceptions, and I understand that, and I want to leave room for that. But careers need to happen, or so they say. And there's daycare. At a very young age, you can put a child at daycare, and they have their place, and they're not, I'm not saying they're all bad. But there's a lot that gets missed in those early years that is done by, I don't know, somebody you hired to do that. And I think it's valuable when the mother can be doing that. Also teaching the simple life skills, just simple motor skills. And while you do that, involving scripture, books, memorization, songs. These simple, seemingly insignificant moments are shaping the minds and lives of these young children, and they are having an impact. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Oftentimes when I heard that verse, I viewed it more in the form of discipline, that type of training. However, I believe it can apply in really any type of training. One thing that we have at home, and I'm pretty sure they're both actually in the library, is the children's songbook, the Bible verses. Those have gotten played probably hundreds of times at our place. And it's something our children enjoy, and it's amazing how young they can sing along. And actually, just this morning, Caleb was bouncing around one of the furniture, and he started singing one of the songs. And I turned to Charlotte, I said, "Does that come from one of the songbooks?" And it did. And it's amazing how that sticks in their minds. And that's valuable. I think that's a very good thing. I'm not saying we should farm all of our memorization and things like that to books, but it's a helpful tool, I do believe. And it is a very necessary thing to put into our children. Even if they have no idea really what they're talking about or singing about, I don't think he was thinking about the words he was singing this morning. However, it's there. And song singing in general, the music, the rhythm, that has an amazing way of sticking in your mind, even at a very young age, especially at a very young age. Next one I'm going to look at is discipline, an unpleasant but a necessary duty for parenting and mothering. It is the duty of the parents, and as I mentioned in this case this morning, to mothers, to teach the fear of the Lord, drawing the line consistently, lovingly, and firmly. Speaking from experience, this can be difficult sometimes. The consistency can be difficult because it doesn't always come at a very convenient time. Actually, most times not. Multiple Proverbs speak on the need to correct and to direct a child. Proverbs 29, verses 15 and 17. 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Then verse 17 says, "Correct your son, and he will give your rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Continual reminding and correcting, again, this is speaking from experience, can become tiresome. Why should it not only take once? I guess we can give some grace and say twice to remind a child that, and then it should be good, right? Surely, once or twice, and all is smoothed out. However, I've been reminded, I'm going to say recently, probably shouldn't just be recently, but somewhat recently, that I am also a forgetful person. And I'm glad that God is merciful and that after one time, after a single reminder, he doesn't despair of me and says, "Well, forget it. He just don't get it. And I'm not going to remind him anymore. He can figure it out himself." No, he doesn't do that. Through his word, through circumstance, Maybe in some ways he says you can figure it out by putting something in front of you that really makes you think, or a trial of some sort, possibly. But he is merciful, and he continues to remind again and again. God has extended much grace to you. Should you not also extend it to others in return? This goes far beyond mothers, I understand, but particularly mothers. God has extended much grace to you. Continues to be forbearing, to be merciful. Should we not extend it to those, especially those that we love, the ones that we've been have been put in our care to direct and to nurture? Discipline needs to be done out of love. Emotion is a powerful thing, but it needs to be kept in check. Again, I can speak from experience in that. Discipline comes maybe easiest when the emotions are high. Snap judgment. I think discipline should be done soon. But oftentimes, there needs to be a check. Maybe a moment, maybe two, maybe multiple minutes. It needs to be done out of love. Let's make sure we have the right mindset, the right heart. Not doing it in act of anger or revenge or any type of aggression. Proverbs 13:24, I read that one of, he who spares his rod hates his son. No discipline suggests a lack of care for a child's well-being. That feels a little harsh. However, that's what it says. No discipline is suggesting a lack of care for a child's well-being. Like, well, I don't feel like it. Maybe you don't feel like it. But if we recognize, or if we discipline for the proper reason of shaping and molding a child, we will understand that no discipline and letting a child go the way they so desire is going to have a very negative effect. One more I want to look at in influencing faithfully is modeling with integrity, living what you say. You like to have a picture in your mind the way you want your children to react, to respond to issues, to your instructions. I mean, I know I do. You want them to act perfectly. You don't want them to raise a scene, especially not in public. To respond to issues in a good way, to your instructions promptly every time without fail. You desire that they seek to learn and to love the Lord, to make seeking and serving Him a part of their life. Hopefully those are your goals. Hopefully you have that in your mind. However, we need to be practical, but hopefully those are those things that drive us to do what we do. However, as I mentioned, modeling with integrity. So if these are your goals, can these qualities be seen in you? If they look at you, can they see somebody that is seeking the Lord with all their heart? Are the qualities that you wish to see in your children, or you wish to see in your children, can they first be seen in you? Are you passionate about the things you want your children to be passionate in? Or are you saying, well, I hope they're not quite like me like this? Because they might be. Are you okay with that? Is that the direction you want them to go? What you actually value will be noticeable to your children, or to those that you're influencing. Don't even need to be your children. What you actually value will be noticeable. Does it match what you say is valuable? Do your values match what you say is valuable? And hopefully it is that way. I trust that it is. However, let's not expect that we can get away with something, if you want to put it that way. Let's value what we want our children to be valuing. Last point is influenced intentionally. Influenced intentionally. Have you ever wondered what your child's going to become? I'm guessing you probably have. You might be raising somebody that's going to be known worldwide. It's a possibility. Would it make a difference the way you raise that child if you knew that? If you knew that they're going to stand center stage somewhere at some point as an adult, would it make a difference? I'm going to mention a few people. Let's think about their mothers and how they likely didn't know, probably had no idea. What about Moses? We had the beginning there. It says that when Moses was born, he was a beautiful child and she wanted to spare his life. However, I don't know that she had any inclination that he was more perfect than any other child. Maybe she did. But it was her own child, so of course she thought it was beautiful. She should. So Moses' mother, Deborah, was a judge. If you look in the Judges, if you look through the Judges, there's a short thing on several verses on Deborah. Do you think her mom knew when she was raising her that she was going to become a judge of Israel? What about Stephen the martyr? Did his mom anticipate that at maybe upper 20s, don't know exactly how old Stephen was, maybe 30, that he was going to get stoned to death? What about any of the disciples as boys? Obviously, once they were men, things transpired, but I'm thinking of as small children, infants. Think any of them did? What about our world leaders? Let's bring it closer home. What about our world leaders? You can probably think a few right off the top of your head that... Do you think their moms had any idea? Now, some, you could say, possibly, born into... Depends what country you go into, royal lines. There are some that are assumed the throne. But a lot of times not. Senators, presidents, even governors that have a lot of power, that rule over a lot of people. Do you think their moms had any idea? Do you think it would have made any difference? Most of them probably had no idea of the impact that their children would make in history and that they would be spoken of for thousands of years after they are gone. Moses, Deborah, Stephen, the disciples. Our world leaders are not quite at thousands, depends how far back you go. But we speak of their names and we know things about them, notable things about them, for thousands of years. I doubt when those children were 2 and 3 years old that was expected. Likely not. You can find numerous quotes from famous people that attribute their direction in their life to their mother. There's multiple from Abraham Lincoln, how he acknowledges his mother, and George Washington Carver, different ones that you can go on. There's a lot of famous men and women have something that you can find somewhere that they would have made a quote somewhere along the line. Bring this back to earth a little bit more. Likely none of your children will be widely known. It's quite a bit unlikely. The percentage of chance is unlikely. Earthly publicity is not important. In fact, there's actually a lot of risk when it comes to earthly publicity. There's so much that goes into that. And it's turns people, power has corrupted many people. But what is important is that they are known in heaven. Your children can be known in heaven before they're there. Third John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Are we influencing intentionally? Mothers, are you influencing intentionally so that you may have the opportunity to hear that your children walk in truth? Everybody needs to make their own decisions. You as mothers, we as parents, we cannot make our children's decisions. However, we can intentionally influence. They do need to make their own decisions. They have to choose to follow God. But we can play a massive part in setting them up, showing them the way through our lives, through our words, through our values. Are we doing that? Mothers, you have been given a great opportunity. You have been entrusted by the Almighty God with children, souls that will live on forever. Sobering when you think about that, of being entrusted with somebody or multiple of souls that are going to live on forever. Yes, our life here is going to end at some point, but we will be somewhere forever and ever. So mothers, I encourage you to seize the moments that you're given with them. I mentioned earlier that this is a marathon, not a sprint. So this is maybe going to be a little bit talking out both sides of my mouth. But in the grand scheme of life, it's but a short time. It's not really that long until your children are making their own decisions, are on their own, if you want to put it that way. Not that takes away any of your all of your influence, some of it. Not all of it. You can still be an influence to them and to their children if they're granted children. However, the beginning stage is what I'm talking about. When children are young, it doesn't take long. Motherhood is a marathon. However, it is also a short time if you can do both at once. This is not a task for you to do on your own. You've been given motherly instincts, as I mentioned earlier, to care and to love. But more importantly, you've been given the power of God himself for wisdom. John 14:18, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, and I will come to you. This is when Jesus was talking to disciples about the Comforter. That is the Holy Spirit living within. And throughout Scripture, Jesus says that this Comforter comes and lives within you. And through the Holy Spirit, you will be given wisdom if you will but ask. The task is big. I will acknowledge that. I think I have. Motherhood is a noble calling. It is a big calling. But it's not for you to do on your own. Don't even try to do it on your own, because I do believe it is impossible to do on your own. First of all, you have your motherly instincts, and I think that's right and good to flow out of that. But most importantly, that you're connected to God, the one that has created you, given you your children, created them. Ask him for wisdom. We need it in all aspects of life. Mothers utilize that when it comes to raising children. Brian already mentioned 1 Peter 3:4. Peter is warning against the beauty not being only outward. I'm going to turn to that again. He said, not letting our beauty only outward, but he speaks of a better, more lasting beauty. I'm just going to read verse 4 again. It says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The value of a mother, of a woman, a mother with a meek and a quiet spirit. That is of great price in the sight of God. So in conclusion, as I mentioned, we all have influence to those that look up to us. It's not just mothers. But speaking especially to the mothers today, your influence is real and it is strong. You shape perspective and outlook in young minds. I don't want that to be a scary thought. Rather, I want it to be an encouraging thought. That you shape the perspective and the outlook in young minds. Let's do it carefully. Let's do it intentionally, and let's be faithful with it. So God bless you as you serve in your given role. To everybody, but today especially to mothers. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today, and as a day that is set aside, given the term Mother's Day, look especially to the mothers. I pray you would bless them. I thank you for the godly heritage that you have set around us, among us, and in many. You have blessed us with godly mothers and grandparents and so forth. And Lord, I just pray for those that have not. Pray that this could be a time where they resolve in their minds that this could be the beginning, through your help, that this could be the beginning of a godly heritage. It is not too late. You've given your instruction to us. Lord, just pray that as we raise the children that you've given to us, that we would be intentional in our instruction, in our life, and in our words. Lord, just pray you would be with the remainder of the service, be with those that have part in Sunday school. And again, bless the mothers this morning, pray that they would feel honored through their families, whichever way that might be. Lord, just give them strength as they go through each day. Some days quite tiring, but Lord, just give them an energy and a desire to continue forward, looking to you for their guidance and wisdom. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.